sleeping, lighting up the world as it lay sleeping.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone, founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Finding God in Prison. And thank you, Kathy, for helping us to open the show once again. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great day, a beautiful day, and July 31st, 2015. We're on our way to our seventh broadcast, and we appreciate you listening in with us today. We have a wonderful show with two guests for you. Our first guest will be Mr. Bob Beck, the founder and executive director of the House of Adonai, which is a recovery home for 32 men who are getting clean and sober. And we will also talk with Officer John Yeager from the Falls Township Police Department. John and I work together in partnership with the WINGS Men program and have done a great semester in the schools here in Lower Bucks County. And so we are looking forward to September. John will be here to talk about the Police Youth Academy that just was completed only yesterday, a 10-day, 80-hour program that really did a phenomenal job to inspire the youth ages 14 to 18, and 52 young people graduated, and they were really touched in many, many ways. So we have a wonderful show for you, and our first guest, as I said, is Mr. Bob Beck, and he is a tremendous advocate for the Lord's Word and for helping men to get clean and sober and to move forward in their recovery process. Bob's been heavily into recovery, and not only for men but for women as well. And the House of Adonai has a men's home and now a women's home. And they're just doing great work for many years, and I really appreciate the opportunity to do the WINGS program with the House of Adonai every Tuesday morning from 10:30 to 12. And we will talk with Bob. He'll be calling in just shortly. But I want to just give you a little bit of information on the WINGS program and My Father's Vineyard. Basically, June 29th, we completed 4 years of service in the Philadelphia prison system. And on August 3rd, 2015, we begin our fifth year with two new classes at the House of Corrections and at the Karan Framhold Correctional Facility. And so we get 50 new men every 10 weeks, and the work continues. But we had a wonderful graduation on June 29th, and we had the families of many of our men who did graduate. I want to thank Jacoby McFadden for coming in to give an inspirational talk to the men and their families. And Jacoby's a WINGS man who's doing great in the WINGS program. He's been with me over 4 years and is succeeding in reentry. He's working over at the ShopRite store up in Hamilton Square, New Jersey, and is just doing terrific in his own reentry process. And he's a personal friend of mine, and I want to thank him again, Jacoby, and God bless you, and we appreciate all that you did for us at that graduation. Also want to take a moment to thank Dale and Jane and Kathy for having us back here once again on our seventh broadcast for Finding God in Prison. And my friends, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. Again, my name is Joe Montone, and this is a privilege and a pleasure to be here. It's really an honor to be with the station and to talk about, you know, men in their recoveries today, and also men who are succeeding in life after incarceration. And so we're going to be touching base with our guests on those two things, and see how we can also help young people to avoid incarceration and the addiction process itself. I want to take also a moment to thank the Charitable Exchange for helping us out month in and month out with their financial support. And again, if you'd like to make a donation to our organization, My Father's Vineyard, you can go to www.thecharitableexchange.org. And to make a donation, just go onto the website and select the charity of your choice, and the TCE will do the rest. Again, there are many charities to choose from, including Holy Spirit Radio and My Father's Vineyard, and they guarantee 100% of your donation made through the website will go to the donor's select charity. So please give us a call and make a donation whenever you can online, and we do appreciate it, and God bless you for that. Okay, we have Bob Beck on the line, and Bob, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Bob, good morning, and thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. How are you today?
I'm good, Joe. Well, thanks. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come on your show and tell people about what we do down here.
That's wonderful. I appreciate, you know, again, taking the time out of your busy day. And it's just been a privilege and a pleasure to be with you, Bob, working to advance a lot of the men who come through the House of Adonai in recovery on Tuesdays. And, you know, I was looking back at my notes. We have two binders with all of our attendance sheets and reports and stuff. And we began actually, you know, way back in 2010. It was November 16, 2010. We're coming up on completing 5 years. And
wow.
Watching you, you know, do the work that you do and, you know, and just moving forward 1 year at a time, helping men to really succeed in recovery. And but I want to give you a chance to give us a little background on yourself, take us back to the early days and how you actually, you know, founded the House of Adonai. But before you talk about how you founded it, give us some background on yourself and your early years growing up, if you can.
Okay. Well, first off, Joe, I want to thank you. Wow. 5 years of hanging with us down here in Frankfurt in the transformation of men, and also you know that we just brought the Woman's House on board, that you're a part of that also. It's so awesome. So I want to thank you for that. It's been one heck of a ride so far, huh?
Absolutely. And you know, Bob has a Harley Davidson and I don't, so but
it's my ministry tool. So that's part of my story of being from years back, you know, growing up, a fatherless young man, and, my dad passed when I was five, and really not, you know, my mom having to work and stuff, you know, I found that the guys hanging out in the neighborhood were the best place to get my information, I thought. And, you know, being part of what they did. And obviously that led me astray into a life of, drugs and alcohol and just the nonsense that comes along with that, whether it be fighting, gang banging, doing different kind of robberies and stuff like that. So I really, for 28 years of my life, was really a mess. You know, I ended up in the military. I was either go to jail or to the military. And I went into the military, which really changed my life for a while. But as soon as my military career was done, it was back to doing what I was doing. And even in the military, drinking got me in trouble, and spent some time in the brig or the stockade, whatever you want to call it, through my drinking, and nobody ever put it together that Bob and alcohol don't mix.
And Bob, what was your drink of choice?
Well, in the military, it was mainly just beer, you know. Mostly, I like drinking wine. MD 2020 was my thing. It was cheap, and it got me good and blasted.
Okay. And what branch of the military were you in?
I was in the Navy for 6 years, and I did some. I did some special stuff. While I was in the Navy too. You know, so it was a great opportunity, and to turn my life around. And I didn't allow that opportunity to really take place to form.
Right. How many years of addiction did you actually experience?
About 28 years. I was in my full blast addiction.
Wow. Okay. And
I'm 57 now, so I've been sober since I was about 37 years old.
Okay, very good. And you know, what part really of your life do you attribute to, you know, this transition? I mean, how did God work into your life in the beginning and help you to make that change?
Well, I have to say that this was nothing but a God process. You know, I've been in and out of jail, in and out of different things. I had to go to a manpower meetings that the judge for domestic violence and stuff like that. None of those things work. You know, one night I once again spent the paycheck, and I promised the mother of my kids I'd come home and take care of the bills and do everything the right way, and I didn't. And I ended up at an AA meeting, not because I wanted to get clean and sober, but because I wanted to just duck the mother of my kids, because I once again broke a promise, and I was going to lose my job for not making it in on a Thursday night. They paid me on Thursday night. I never made it in to work on Friday. So I knew I was going to lose my job, and I was just totally, I was at the end of my rope. I happened to go home and face the family, broke again, and with some kind of cockamamie story of how I'm broke. So I ended up in an AA meeting, and I ended up into a recovery facility. And, you know, I started my walk in AA, but during the 12-step process, I found Jesus at step three. Step three says to turn your life and your will to the care of God as you understand him. And I truly believe that that's where God got a hold of my life.
Okay. And how much time did you actually serve in prison?
Well, I added it all up. Probably a good 5 years off and on with different things. My longest was like almost 2 years at one long stretch.
Okay. And so 28 years of addiction, 5 years in and out of prison, and now you're basically at step three in the AA program, finding God, and then what happens?
So for me, you know, I was living in a recovery house, and you know, I had the AA sponsor, and he took me through the Alcoholics Anonymous big book and the 12-step process. So I completed that, and I have a working knowledge of how AA works. And what for me was that I needed to know this God. If I was going to turn my life over to this thing, I needed to know what it was, because I actually thought I was the man. You know, being a drug dealer, being a gangbanger, being, you know, riding my Harley out there in that crazy world, I actually thought I was the man. So I didn't see turning my life and my will over to anything. And so I started visiting different churches and stuff. And but the thing, there was a lot of work in coming to know Christ and his transforming power in my life, the transformation power that he has for me and for everybody else. Was, you know, I was abused as a kid, you know, my dad died. So how could God, if there was a God, how could that happen? And then on the other side of that I was a nut and stole everything that wasn't nailed down. I wasn't a good dad. I wasn't a good provider. I wasn't a good son. How could God forgive a guy like me? I shot somebody to take his wallet, you know, to go get another one. How could God love a guy like that? So there was a lot of work and faith and prayer and trust and, you know, allow people to mentor me to come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ.
Okay. And you grew up in Philadelphia, did you?
Yeah, I grew up in, I guess it's like the Northeast, where Sears used to be on the Boulevard. So one of my favorite lines is, you know, I'm Bob Beck from F in the Boulevard. I thought like I was the king over there.
Right. Okay. Interesting. And so, you know, God really transformed your life in a powerful way. And you never really quit, did you, Bob?
Quit and what? From when I picked up, started my new life, you're saying?
Yeah. In other words, when you found the Lord, was there a time where you actually relapsed backwards?
Oh, no. Praise God that from the time I came into the recovery process and started doing the work required, and allowing Jesus into my life, no. So I'm sober 19 and a half years, praise God, because of his mercy, and actually being able to take direction from other men that told me that there was a better way of doing business today, you know?
Right. And that's terrific. That's amazing. So if you were in front of a group of, say, 30 young men aged 12 to 14, what would your message be to them?
Well, to say that on the phone is a little rough, because, like, in a way, I speak with a lot of body language. So I think I would have to do some kind of body language to kind of get their attention in a way to be. I look back and I remember when I was, 14 to 18, maybe even up till I was 21. Nobody could tell me anything. So my hope would be that I might be able to get their attention that way. And then, begin to explain that, if I would have chose to listen to mom or listen to a mentor or somebody that wanted to pour into my life at that age, then I probably wouldn't have hit the, rocky road, the pitfalls that I did, and life may have been different for me than it is today.
Okay. Very good. Growing up myself in New York City, my parents were divorced when I was three, and, saw my dad every other weekend for 6 years and then three times in 18 years. So We have some, commonality there. At 5 years old, if you take us from 5 to 18, did you have any role models growing up, Bob?
Well, so I was sexually molested in a boarding school. So that kind of like twisted my thinking in a way. And I became a person that if I could do well at something, then you would like me. And so I became very, very good at playing soccer and gymnastics. So my thinking was that people liked me because I was very good at that. So like coaches became a role model for me. And also I was in the Boy Scouts. And so the troop leader became a role model for me in that.
Okay. Very good. Very good. And so at 37, basically your life takes a turn and you move forward through your own recovery and you're clean and sober 19 and a half years. We've had many men come through the House of Adonai. And really, it's been a privilege, for me to work with the men. I want to give you a couple of names of men and have you just see what comes to your mind, okay?
Oh, you got it.
The first one here. This is a graduate of the WINGS program on April 24th, 2012. Charles Hall.
Oh, wow. Charles was a very energetic young man, a great guy. He was hungry to learn. He took in everything. And the thing about Charles, he was a cook in St. Thomas. And when he came back to the United, he was a cook down there for like 18 years, head chef of the resort down there. And he found himself in Frankfurt under the L in a recovery spot. And his line that used to get me was, I used to look out my window and see the big statue in St. Thomas, and now I see the L. And, Charles is still involved in our church. He helps out with the kids, and he comes down to the house when we have we have different alumni days down here at the house that he's still a part of. So that's awesome.
Okay, very good, very good. And I know Charlie's a great piano player.
Absolutely.
And he always added a lot to our sessions. But I recall seeing him at the Christmas party this past holiday season. Yep. Another gentleman, Lawrence Bollinger.
Oh, wow. Lawrence. How do I describe Lawrence? He's become a very good friend of mine. Lawrence came to our program, and at 10 months into the program, he stumbled a little bit and relapsed, and then cried back out for help, and so we opened the door and helped him out, and God really moved into. He really surrendered his life to the Lord, and what a transformation in Lawrence! What an awesome guy he is, and he. I think it's about 3 years now, or maybe a little bit more, that he's been working in the office as a volunteer. He does all the intakes with every guy that comes in the door. He answers the call to every guy and now ladies that is coming to the program. And he does a lot of the letter writing to guys that are in jail that are looking to, when they come out for a reentry program type home. And so he just gives so much. It's unreal. And he's a volunteer down here. So Lawrence is just an awesome brother, and I'm proud to call him my friend. I'm honored to call him my friend.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And same for me, Bob. Lawrence graduated in the Wings program September 13th, 2011. And so, you know, it's been a while. It's been almost 4 years. And I remember when he moved into the office and started working with you. It's hard to believe it's been almost 4 years since that. And he's done a great job for you. And, you know, it's just...
He writes some awesome poems, too.
Yeah. Now, I want to take you into the creation of the House of Adonai now. How did you come up with the name?
Well, Adonai, you know that ride my Harley. So one of my Harley buddies, a Christian brother, and I, who was like my best buddy until he moved. Well, he still is my best buddy, but he lives in Myrtle Beach now. But him and I were going through the Bible, and we were throwing out different names. And he said, how about Adonai? Do you know what Adonai means? So he gave me a bunch of, he did some research and gave me a bunch of information on what the definition of Adonai means. And it was a perfect fit. To say Adonai is my God. That for me, it helped make it personal. And, you know, so it's the name that the Jews use out of the Old Testament to talk about Adonai. And he's my Lord. So it has a few implications in that that name that I thought was very appropriate for what we're doing.
Right. And that's a beautiful thing. That's the actual story behind the name. And then as you move forward, what was the inspiration to actually go from your own recovery into creating a home, a recovery home for other men?
Well, you know, I lived in a recovery facility, and for whatever reason, God just kept laying on my heart that I needed to start a house. And that's what we did. So we've been doing this for about 18 years. So, maybe the first 9 years was a 12-step model following AA with the 12 steps. And then I would witness to the guys, tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. I would take everybody I could to church. Matter of fact, I even had a storefront church a couple of doors over from our facility. And God just kept laying on my heart that I needed to go to a fully faith-based program. And, so there was a lot of fear behind that. I didn't know how to do that. I'm a dropout and all that kind of stuff that got a GED in the military. And, so I didn't think I was scholastically smart enough to do this stuff. But, you know, God stretches us and he puts the right people in our path to get his will accomplished. So, about nine years ago, we stepped out and, with Adonai, and we shut down the part of 12 Steps Ahead, and we moved into being the House of Adonai.
Okay. Very good. And, now today you actually have a woman's home as well, correct?
Yes, sir. That's the Redemption House. And that's about, we're moving into our eighth, matter of fact, we're moving into our eighth month now of that facility being up and running.
And that's wonderful. I know I've been there one time. I did several weeks ago a session for, the women there at the Redemption House, and that went very well for 90 minutes. And we're going to continue with that alternating process every other Tuesday in each of the homes. Basically reinforcing, you know, the strategic planning that we've done the first time and carrying men and women through their recovery. But, just complimenting the good work that you're already doing. I want to, Bob, just, read to you one or two things because there's a great need here for recovery. An estimated 20.4 million people in the United States used some kind of illicit drug in the past 30 days, according to the latest government statistics. About 8.3% of all persons aged 12 and over are involved in the use of illegal drugs or the non-medical use of prescription drugs. The most popular drugs used that are abused, according to the survey, number one, marijuana, used by 14.8 million people, or 6% of the population. Cocaine, 2.4 million users. Hallucinogens, including ecstasy, 1 million users. Methamphetamine, about 731,000 users. And prescription drugs, 7 million non-medical users. So, you know, this is an amazing, you know, amount of people that are involved in the use of drugs, both illegal and legal drugs. And on that note, how many people would you estimate that have come through your fingers have actually gone before us, have been have died due to the use of drugs?
Oh, wow. You know, I would say right in the program, like they would go relapse for a night and something happened. So there's probably 6 to 8 guys right there. And then I would probably say that we personally know since we've started the house. And then people that I know since I've been in recovery for the last 19 years, I'd say a personal friend, at least 12. So that's like 18 men and women that I know that either overdosed or committed suicide because they went backward through this insidious disease of addiction, man.
Okay. Yeah, and it's an amazing thing to watch people on your attendance sheet, you know, not wake up the next morning. And
yes.
I've seen it firsthand, you know, and it's, you know, it's a real eye-opener to show that there is a great need. And even when you're doing many things right, the habit pattern is still there, and people are going back to, sometimes go back to what feels good. Along with that, Bob, I want to ask you, as you journey through your own life personally now, how has God helped to change your character and your attitude in life itself?
Well, I think I would have to say the main thing, because, you know, when you were just saying that there, with the first thing that stopped me with those statistics and the people that are dying, there is work to do, and I know it's not about works, but there's work to do in my life. You know, the story is addiction wasn't my problem. My problem was the way I thought and how I medicated my feelings. So, you know, once I allowed God into my life to heal my broken heart, and I believe that was the whole thing behind my addiction, is that I didn't feel whole and complete. You know, I was a broken person, and, you know, like I believe different lies that I believe I picked up along the road about myself. I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. I'll never amount to anything. Those kind of things that somewhere I picked up that became a part of me. And that's what needed to be changed. So today that I realize whose I am, not who I am, but whose I am, and that God can change everything. And then through some counseling and mentorship and the 12 steps of the Alcoholics Anonymous, I was able to see things in me that needed to be changed, that needed to be addressed, turn that thinking around. You know, Joe, you know we call it thinking, that I needed to get rid of that. And the thing is, that never goes away. Somebody's going to push my buttons this way or that way through the course of the day or the week, and I have to remember to take that to God and remember my new way of addressing that. I teach the guys, I call it the 3 R's. I need to retreat, so I need to step back and count to 10 or say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I need to regroup instead of being all frustrated, just bring it back into the center, and respond. And most times I just learn to react out of a defense mechanism, and that doesn't work in my new lifestyle or anybody else's. So there's some of the things that I did and I believe in to allow transformation to happen in my life.
Right, and that's wonderful. I know growing up in a single-parent home myself, I grew up with that same broken heart for different reasons, and it took 2 decades to fill that, and only God can do it, you know, and that's a special thing. You know, when he did that for me, I realized that he did something that no one else can do. My mother couldn't do it. My uncles, my aviation career couldn't do it. No woman could do it for me. Only God could do that. And, you know, that's something very, very special. Those wounds within the heart that only God can heal. We're just coming up on half past the hour, Bob, but just want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, and my name is Joe Montone. We're talking with Bob Beck, the founder and executive director of the House of Adonai, and also now the Redemption House. And this is Finding God in Prison, our seventh broadcast. And again, Bob, we just welcome you to the program, and it's been a wonderful thing to work with you. I want to just ask you to just talk a little bit about the actual program that you offer the men who come to the House of Adonai. Can you do that for us?
So, kind of like what our format is that what you're looking for, Joe?
Yes, in the day-to-day of, this is a one-year program. Mm-hmm. And within that year, can you talk about the evolution from day one through graduation?
Mm-hmm, sure. So, As a man or a woman enters into our program, we let them know right up front what we're about. Most guys and gals are familiar with the 12-step process. So we have to let them know that we do things a little bit different here. Everything's through Jesus. And so the first 4 months, I like to call being triaged by God, being triaged by Jesus in the first 4 months where there's no work, where it's an intensive program that we work out each day. So, you know, we start a day with, of course, you know, getting up and getting ready for the day and having breakfast. Then we have a morning meditation. And then through the morning we have two trainings, one at 8 o'clock and one at 11 o'clock, which would be Bible studies. And, of course, you do the one on Tuesday down here that whether it's a Bible study, Joe, you do a positive motivation with the guys and show them how to mark out their time and operate. What do you do with your time and how to fill it and work it? And so that's taken care of during the morning. And 3 days a week, the guys go to an intensive outpatient where they're able to address the addiction that they're working through. And so they would do that in the afternoon. And then after dinner, we go to a different Christian to Alternative to Addiction meeting four to five times a week. So we're similar to our AA meeting. We go to a Christian meeting, and where there may be a speaker, there may be a Bible study, a way to speak about what God's doing in our life today to keep us from going back to the old lifestyle. So it's a pretty intensive program, and so that's for the first 4 months. And then the next 4 months, we encourage the men to get out and find gainful employment and or go back to school. A lot of guys don't have a skill set or a career. And so we kind of like offer them an opportunity to be able to go to school, to not just go get what we would say a J-O-B, just get a job, but to have some kind of career. Joe, you know that if a guy goes back and works at McDonald's or Burger King or washes dishes, that, you know, if he's only making like minimum wage than $10 an hour, that's really rough if you have kids and, you know, mama needs her nails done and her hair done and you need a new pair of shoes and you gotta keep the electric on. It's really hard to do that with a minimum wage job. So we encourage the men to go to school and seek out a career. A few of our guys have graduated and are getting ready to graduate from going to electrical school. And, so that's really been encouraging. Some guys are in college. We have a couple of guys going to Bible college. And that's also encouraging. So that would be the next 4 months. And then in those 4 months, they also need to do meeting during the week. They're still doing their intensive outpatient at night. And we also, have a class each Wednesday night for money management, anger management, relationship. I don't want to say the word management, but learn how to operate in relationship, whether it be a friend or a wife or a gal that you want to be dating. How does that operate in our new way of life? And then the last 4 months would be operating in that. And by then, you're giving back to the new guy in the program, and you're helping the new guy in the door. You're mentoring him on what you've learned through the program, and you're walking with him step by step. That's that's kind of like the layout of what we have down here for the year-long process.
Okay, and that's great. I know I've seen men in all phases of that, and I'm going to give you another name here. I'm going to drop on you right now, Jordan Parisi.
Oh, wow. Now, that is one success story. I'm so glad you brought up his name. You know, he came in, one of those guys with doing the prescription drugs, and, you know, he was diagnosed with a mental health issue, and he came in all medicated up and doing all these different meds and in trouble with the law. And so he came here. He had a bumpy ride, and, you know, he was a hardcore guy. And God turned him around and brought his wife back into his life, his kids back into his life. He's one of the guys that graduated from going to electrical school. And praise God, he just got an award from the city, an award from the school. He has his own business now that he's very successful in. And he went back to college for, that slips my mind what he's in college for now. He's going to Temple University. Wow. And they honored him for something down there. And, so it's just so awesome where God's taken him. And, I asked him to come down to the house and speak to the guys. So he pops in every now and then, and he talks to one of the new guys, and he tells them what it was like for him, and then he's back on the road doing his thing.
Yeah, and that's tremendous confirmation, Bob. This you know, broadcast is unscripted, my friends. You're listening out there because we let the Holy Spirit run through the program, and but I put that name out to you, Bob, because Jordan Parisi, he graduated from the Wings program on April 10th, 2012, and he asked me to give him a letter of recommendation, which I did, and the fruit of all that stuff that, you know, you guys did and we did in the Wings to compliment, is the young man is doing terrific, both in business, family life, and in, you know, community service. And he's, you know, he's moving forward from his days of, you know, really, from the day he woke up on the dance floor, actually didn't wake up on the dance floor, passed out due to an overdose and drinking heavily, overdose of drugs. He ended up in the ER, and the doctor said to him, you almost didn't make it, you know, next time you might not make it. And this was a wake-up call. That's how he ended up at the House of Adonai. And, you know, he really got the wake-up call, and things turned around for him because he actually adhered to the process, worked hard, and it's not without challenges. Bob, give us the number one challenge that you see the men in the House of Adonai having in the day-to-day within the program.
Well, Joe, let me breathe a second. I'm sitting here with tears running down my face because sometimes just in the daily mix of all what I do, what we do, Danny, not what I do, I don't get to relish in the beauty of what God does. Really, I am. If you saw me now, I'm just tears are flowing down my face. The saddest thing here, and we got to talk about the guys that don't make it. The guys that come in the door and they try. And for whatever reason, they just give up on themselves and they're back out in the street and they're back doing their thing. And, you know, sometimes it's a standing joke. If you go up to State Road, I do Bible studies up on State Road, and I'm in a different prison I'm in three different prisons each month. And, you know, the guys joke and they call Adonai too. So the guys that don't make it, they find themselves, you know, back in incarceration, or they're back in a detox somewhere, or they're like amongst the walking dead on the street, and they're living in a park somewhere. And it grieves my heart to see that happen. And of course, you know, I go over and I pray with them that if we're able to get them something to eat, we get them something to eat, and we tell them, look, man, you're welcome to come on back. And, some guys do. And some guys don't, but that's the saddest part, Joe, of what we do is the unsuccess that happens in a man's life down here, or a woman's life down here. That's the sad part. You know, women know what they're doing. They're going to get stuck jumping in and out of cars, turning their life over to some stranger a couple times a night to support a habit, and they never know how safe it is or diseases, and it's sad. So that's the heart wrench of what we do down here.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when let's put it into perspective, when families give up, when employers have fired people, when banks have foreclosed on homes, basically we pick up the individual and help to rebuild their lives, both inside and outside prison walls. And, you know, it's not without challenge, you know, the work is so needed, you know, because it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going.
Amen, Joe.
And
Amen.
this is the secret of a relationship with God. And God knows, you know, having worked on death row with men who intentionally killed four people, you know, God forgives all of us. And, so, you know, I just have to take a moment to just, Bobby, to say, you know, what a great job you've done for the Lord. And for so many people, so many families, so many husbands and sons and fathers who are out there, and now mothers as well, and wives, in helping them to rebuild their lives once again. And it is hard work. It just is challenging and difficult work. But here's what the Lord says in James chapter 1. And the value of trials and temptations. He says, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance be perfect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So there is difficulty and challenging, but I've seen men in the house of Adonai, you know, with genuine joy and a lot of peace. I know one of the guys lost his dad only about a month ago, Jeff, nice young man. And, you know, he didn't plan on it. It just happened. And, you know, and now he has to move forward with that. So there are all kinds of things that can happen to you directly and also indirectly. And your support team, you know, is doing a very, very good job. I just want to highlight also, the staff in the back who is taking care of business, Hilda and the other individuals who have helped you in finances or, you know, in different categories. Would you like to mention anyone in particular who's doing, you know, outstanding work for you?
Hilda directs our woman side of the program. We have Andy who takes care of the finances, like I said earlier. That is definitely not my forte, doing the book work. So she takes care of the books for us, and that's awesome. We have Lawrence that wears so many different hats in our facility. It's amazing that he works the front desk and is office manager and just deals with every individual that comes through our program. We have Ben, who's the house manager and works directly with the students. And then, we have an up and comer, Jason, who's been on your show and works with you with the kids at school and stuff. He's really found a heart for the ministry, and so he's come on board to help us out with IT stuff and just different ideas. And yes, absolutely. If it wasn't for the team, we wouldn't be able to do this down here. It just takes more than just one person. And then we have different pastors and men to come in during the week with our Bible studies, such as yourself and Pastor Joe and Brother Bruno and Pastor Tim. We just have, and they come in, they pour into the guys. And, you know, Cornerstone Church that has wrapped around us, and they just love on the men. They took the men camping for the weekend up in the Catskills. It's so awesome what comes together, what God brings together down here for the men.
Absolutely. And I just want to mention also being on the board for a couple of years, having the pleasure, the privilege to be at some of the meetings and listen to the leadership of Barry Bramble and Pastor Joe and some of the other men who have really, you know, helped to carry, you know, the House of Adonai through the day in and day out, the month in and month out issues and challenges, hurdles. and you know, going forward from that. And so I have to just highlight some of those people, you know, like Barry, who's done a great job and helping to, you know, solve problems on a monthly basis. But I just want to, Bob, let you know we have another caller who's going to be on the show, another guest, Officer John Yeager. But I want to give you a chance before we exit. If people would like to donate and make a donation to the House of Adonai, how can they do that?
So if you would care to help us out, we have a website with the PayPal on the website, and that would be thehouseofadonai.org. And we also have a Facebook page. You could begin to follow us. It would be the House of Adonai and or the Redemption House. And we've been putting blogs on there. We're going to be putting different interviews with different clients that are coming in the door. And then maybe 2 weeks later, 2 months later, you know, doing a before and after type deal. And so people can see the growth of each person that's come in, or a couple of cats that are coming in and stuff like that.
Right.
So it would be the House of Adonai. .org, and you'd be able to go see our website and see what we're all about.
Okay, very good, Bob. I want to thank you for, you know, taking the time out of your day to speak with us here at Holy Spirit Radio, and specifically Finding God in Prison, our broadcast. And I thank you for your friendship and for the great work you've done for God and for all of the men in recovery and women now. And we just wish you the best. And you know, I'll be talking to you again later on today.
Thank you, Joe. You have a blessed day, my friend.
You too. God bless, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking with Bob Beck, the founder and director, executive director of the House of Adonai Recovery Home at 5031 Frankfort Avenue. And our next guest coming up is Officer John Yeager from the Falls Township Police Department. And John, are you on the phone?
Hi, Joe. Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for taking the time out of your day to speak with us. You were with us a while back on another broadcast, and I just want to let our listeners know that I invited Officer Yeager to join us because we just completed the project of the Falls Township Police Youth Academy, which ended only yesterday with a graduation class of 52 young people who did a tremendous job from where I sat. And, John, I just want to ask you to take a moment to talk about some of the success within that program.
Thanks, Joe. I would love to. So we started with 53, and one decided to leave. There actually were a couple others, three young males decided not to show up at all, and one fella got a job. So we ended up with 52, and the 52 kids are students that are entering ninth grade this year through 12th grade and this year's graduates. We had a wide variety of students. It was probably 60-40, male to female. We pushed these kids, and we demanded respect from these young cadets, and we drove these cadets. And we made it as realistic to a police academy as we could. They met the challenge. It was a wonderful thing to watch. 52 different individuals start out on day one, coming in with their eyes wide open. We had three of our men be drill instructors, Officer Fisher, Detective Callahan, and Officer Caesar. And they were outfitted in DDUs with the jump boots, with the campaign hat. And we all started barking at them pretty much from day one. And they immediately, when they entered in to the building, and then I want to thank the Pennsbury School District, specifically Dr. Kevin McHugh, for allowing us to use the property. And the young kids came in, they had a sign in. We took their lunches so we could refrigerate them, and they were sent into a locker room to get changed into their uniform. So within the first 15 minutes of the program, they no longer were individuals. They were individuals in a uniform within the academy. And the transformation of these young people through the demands that we gave them, the challenges that we put in front of them, they were able to become a well-oiled machine. We had a graduation yesterday at Finsbury High School East. We were fortunate enough to have Dr. McHugh there. We had State Representative John Galloway there. We also had Board Chairman Bob Harvey there. And our Chief, Bill Wilcox, was absolutely supportive of this program. So we had those gentlemen on stage, along with many of the instructors, and along with relatives of some of the cadets who are either law enforcement, EMS, fire safety, or the military, to allow that relative to actually present them their diploma. I had a wonderful time working with Lieutenant Whitney and Corporal Wolverton in the process of creating this from a vision and putting it together and having the cadets graduate in almost a flawless fashion. We were able to also have Pensbury High School with the assistants, Mr. Dan Mahoney and Harry Simons, videotape this. And so they are going to edit it, and they are going to put together our graduation, and we are going to put it on our web, our YouTube page under Falls Township Police. Currently, we do have some of the speakers that you have been able to provide us to bring in to talk to the students during the school year, which I'm excited. Once September starts, I'll get back in there, Joe, and I'm going to make all our contacts, and we're going to set a schedule for the year to have speakers come in and talk to the kids. So we want to add this graduation to that YouTube page, along with many of the other things that we did. As you know, and your listeners, I'm sure, do not know, you were gracious enough to come to our academy almost every day. And when you came, I gave you the task of filming and taking photos. And so the audio, the filming part that you took, we're going to put that together in the high school, and we are going to also put that on the YouTube page for the young cadets to look back and see themselves. It also becomes a nice selling point for us for next year to be able to just say to young people, if you want to be challenged, if you think you really want to be a police officer or you want to be in the military, you want to get into EMS or fire safety, we are going to give you the experience as real as we can, age appropriate, of an academy. And that was our goal. And I really think, Joe, that collectively, everybody that was involved, our staff, the girls from Records that came in, you know, Colleen, Amy, Rainey, Donna, they really did, you know, outstanding. We had another fellow, Stacey Howell, taking some pictures for us. We had one of the cadets' mothers, Katie, was involved in taking photos for us. My daughter actually came up and helped. My daughter, Devin, one of my sons, Dylan, was there. He just became a nurse. And he's actively looking for employment in Jersey. And he was there to help with our CPR portion of our program. One of my other sons wanted to be there just to see and see maybe he'll come next year, my son Brendan. So I know from my family perspective, it was a wonderful thing. In fact, when I got home yesterday, I'm going to cry. My kids gave me a big bouquet of flowers. It was really neat. So, but yeah, thanks for all your help in allowing yourself to be there and touch these kids. It was really... it was amazing, and anyone who was part of it was excited about it. We all created an air of excitement, and there was passion, all of us. And the cadets felt it, and they really lived up to the demands that we set on them.
Hey, John, I just want to say, it was a privilege to be an observer and also partaking in some of the details that needed to be done. It was just an unbelievable 10-day experience for me to see the high level of professionalism that was displayed by the officers from the Falls Township, the police department, the Army, sergeants who showed up for PT and also in the classroom. I mean, it was just phenomenal. That level of professionalism, discipline, and brotherhood really was just a tremendous inspiration to me personally. And I just want to say, you did a phenomenal job at leading the whole project, and along with Lieutenant Whitney and Corporal Wolverton. It was really wonderful, John.
Hey, Joe, thank you. And, I would be remiss if I didn't thank our Army friends. Sergeant Turner and Sergeant Weaver were fantastic. They really were. They were out on the track every day, as was one of our officers, Chris Iacona, and especially a big thanks to Micah Wright. He's a guidance counselor in Pensbury High School, and he is also an assistant track coach. And one of the ways that I felt best to sell this program to get out to the community was to go to all the area schools and speak to guidance counselors and tap them to see if they knew a young student that had an interest in one of those categories. And so when I sat with Michael Reich and I gave him the poster that we had printed up and a bunch of applications, he asked me what we were going to do for, you know, PT. What was my idea? And so I basically said, I have a cop that can run 5 miles every single day, great shape, I'm going to leave it up to him. And he said to me, do you need any help? So he was the first one to volunteer to come on board. And then when the Army guys volunteered to come out there, it was outstanding. And we had some of our other guys, some other officers, Detective Reeves and Detective O'Connell, jump out with us on the track and field, too. And that was a challenge for the young people. You know, our big theme was hydration. But, you know, as things go, they had a three-day break on a weekend, and one of the young ladies chose not to hydrate, and therefore she had heat exhaustion out on this field, had to go to the hospital, yep. Had to get a couple of bags of fluid dumped back into her to bring her back around. So it was a learning experience on that aspect that yep. We will correct next year when we're going to do forced water drinking in the morning just to start sure. Our day out together. So I'm looking forward to next year, and I would imagine within about 3 or 4 weeks we'll start planning now for next year, start getting our dates together, and, you know, all our paperwork to start pushing forward.
Okay, that's great, John. And, you know, we just want to thank you for calling in today and wish you the best with this project. I look forward to being part of it as well in the future, not only the Wingsmen program, but, you know, in the Police Academy for the youth as well. Whatever I can do to help out, we'll make it happen. But wish you a great day, and God bless you and your work, John.
Hey, Joe, thank you very much for the opportunity to be on your show, and thanks for all the work you do for us and for the people in the community. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you, John. Thanks. God bless. Take care. My friends, you're listening to Police Officer John Yeager from the Falls Township Police Department. I want to thank him and also Bob Beck from the House of Adnai for calling in as our guest. We only have another 20 seconds to go in the show, and I want to thank Dale and Jane for having us back today on Finding God in Prison. And you're listening to, once again, Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Joe Montone. I want to just mention, last and not, but not least, the Men in the Wings program. I want to thank you for being in the program, and we look forward to another two classes on Monday, August 3rd. God bless you, and thank you, Kathy, for everything you did today. Have a great day, my friends. Take care.
This morning, in the morning sunrise, its golden glow came creeping and lighting up the world as it lay sleeping.